One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray and ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the promise that you are a good Father who gives good gifts to your children. We're aware that without the help of your Holy Spirit, we cannot understand what you have to say to us this morning. So we ask that you would please send your Spirit, soften our hearts, open our ears, help us to concentrate, we pray, so that Jesus might be honoured and we might learn how to pray. So we ask it in his name. Amen. I want to welcome you this morning to the School of Asking. I think there's a slide. I think the clicker's dud today. There you go. The School of Asking. Welcome to the School of Asking. As we spend time in Luke's Gospel, in this part, over the next few weeks, we're all going to go back to school. Okay? We're going back to school. So as we kick off the new series, it's like you're going back to school on the first day of term. First day at a new school. I don't know if you remember your first day at secondary school, perhaps, or primary school. And maybe you remember the new uniform that's slightly too big so that you can grow into it. Maybe your mum's taken a photo of you by the front door in your uniform looking like this. Maybe you've got your owl in a cage, platform 9 3/4. I think I'm getting confused. That's something else. But you finally got to the School of Asking. Okay, you finally got there. You've got off at the right bus stop, which is good. You know, you've made your way there. And as you enter the school gates, there's a sign, the name over the school, which is called the School of Asking. That's the name of this school. This is a school that all disciples of the Lord Jesus need to go to. The reason we're going back to school is not because we're stupid, but because we do have something to learn. Look at verse 1 with me again. Verse 1 is going to be our focus verse for today. And it says this: "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Did you see how Jesus' followers are described in the verse? What word is used to describe Jesus' followers? Disciples, yeah? Disciples, that word, what it means is pupil. It means learner. Someone who learns from someone else. And so Jesus' learners, they come to Jesus and they say, "Look, John had disciples, John had learners, and he taught them how to pray. We're your learners. Please can you teach us how to pray?" Learning how to pray is crucial for all disciples of the Lord Jesus. And in this part of Luke's Gospel, what we see is that Jesus has his eyes fixed onto a target. You know, like in Star Wars? Have you seen Star Wars? You know when they're kind of like They're trying to shoot someone else down, and they're in a spaceship. You know, they're kind of like flying through the air. It's not air; it's space. But they're flying around, okay. And then they finally get target lock on the person in front, and they can fire their missiles out. And it's like Jesus has got target lock on where he's going. In this part of Luke's gospel, he is heading for the cross. You can read about it in chapter 9. We see that Jesus resolutely sets out with his eyes focused on Jerusalem, where he would suffer and die on the cross in the place of sinners. That's where Jesus is heading. But on the journey there, he has some things to teach his disciples. And these things aren't kind of secondary issues. They are things that are vital. They are crucial for everyone who would call themselves a disciple of Jesus. This is how the disciples need to live, shaped by the cross. One of the crucial things that disciples need to learn is how to pray. How to pray in the light of the cross. How to pray like Jesus. So that's why we're going to go back to school. Because as learners of Jesus, we've all got something to learn. Now, maybe the thought of going back to school fills you with dread. Maybe you've been at school all week and you think, well, I have to go on a Sunday as well. Or maybe you think back to the time where you were at school and you're just like, man, that was a hard time. I learned loads of stuff that I never even use. What's the point in going back to school? And that's probably true, actually. Half the stuff I learned, it's like, why did we bother? But that's not the case with the School of Asking. With the School of Asking, we're not going to learn, like, trigonometry or quantum physics or quantum mechanics, or I'm sorry if I've offended anyone there. I've never used those things as far as I know. But it's not like that. We're going to learn something that is absolutely crucial for every disciple of Jesus. Something like breathing air. This is not something that only the super elite need to learn. It's for all of us. And so I hope that this morning, as we start in the School of Asking, it will leave us hungry. Hungry to learn how to pray. That we will become askers who put aside our pride and say with the disciples, Lord, please teach us how to pray. So again, welcome to the School of Asking. And at this school, we're going to learn how to ask. It's obvious. And we're going to learn from the best. So the first thing, Ethan, learn how to ask. This is what this passage encourages us to do. Learn how to ask. Verse 1 again, let's read it. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. The disciples want to learn how to pray. What is praying? I wonder how you'd answer that. What is praying? What Jesus tells us in this part of God's word is that praying is asking. Praying is asking. Now, this isn't everything that the Bible has to teach us about prayer. If you were to go through the Bible, you'd see all the way through a richness and a depth to what the Bible says about prayer. There's all sorts of kinds of prayer. There's confession, there's thanksgiving, there's adoration, and there's various other things as well. But what's really interesting about the Lord's Prayer is that it's all asking. It's not just asking for me, and it's not just asking for things, but it is all asking of some description. So look down at verse 2 with me. How does it start? Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. It's asking that God's name would be honoured and that his kingdom would come on earth, that his message would be spread, that more and more people would be under the kingship and rule of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. It's asking for provision. Verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. It's obvious, it's asking for forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. Asking to be protected from the devil's attacks. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer of asking. Praying is asking. And so disciples of Jesus need to learn how to ask. Now that sounds easy, doesn't it? That sounds really easy. Okay, you're kind of thinking, okay, if this is what the Lord's Prayer is about, do we really need to have a whole series learning how to ask? That's something that comes naturally to me. Even children know how to ask. It's in our nature. Zach is—he's only one, but he already knows how to ask. If he's done a poo at 5 o'clock in the morning, he'll stand up in his cot and he'll shout, "Mummy!" I'm glad that he shouts "Mummy" and not "Daddy," actually. But he knows how to ask. He needs to be changed. If he when he wants food, do you know what he'll do? He'll point at the food that he wants, and he'll go, until he gets it. Maybe we should think about that, actually. If he wants to be picked up by one of us, he'll run towards us with his arms open. If he wants to watch TV, he'll bring us the remote controls. He knows that his parents are his providers, and so he knows that when he needs our help, he has to ask. Asking comes naturally, and perhaps you think, well, I don't need to learn this. You know, if this is what we're going to learn in the school of asking, then just give me the exam now, because I know I'm going to pass. I'm good at asking. But Jesus wouldn't teach us something that we don't need to learn. And I think it's really easy to grow out of the habit of asking. There are all sorts of different things that stop us asking. Sometimes it's doubt. If I ask God for something, if I ask him in prayer, is it really going to make any difference? What's the point in asking? I have asked and it hasn't made any difference. It doesn't change anything. Doubt. Doubt stops us seeking opportunities to go and create mission. Doubt says, well, what's the point in even trying? It's not going to change anything. Doubt stops us praying for unbelievers who don't seem to have moved at all the years that we've been praying for them. Doubt stops us looking for answers to prayer. Sometimes it's just that we don't really feel the need to ask. We don't have any sense of a felt need. So why would I need to ask for my daily bread when there's plenty of Hovis in Asda? Why would I need to pray for health when actually I'm all right at the minute? I've not got any worries and concerns. Why would I need to pray for forgiveness? Because I don't really feel like I've sinned that much today. Maybe little things, but nothing that really needs forgiveness. Often it's pride that stops us from asking. Sometimes it's doubt. Sometimes we just don't feel the need. But often it's pride. Pride is a problem with prayer. Asking means admitting that you need help. None of us like to do that, do we? Think of the last time that you got lost somewhere and you had to ask for directions. I hate that. that thing where you have to say, excuse me, I've been a bit silly. I've got no signal on my phone. I don't know where I am. I'm really helpless. Please can you tell me where to go? No one wants to do that. I'd much rather just try every single turning until you finally get yourself back on track. We don't like to admit that we need help. I think that's true for every aspect in life, not just directions. Our sinful instinct is to say, I'm a strong, independent person, and I don't need no help. Pride is a real problem when it comes to prayer. And we see it in different ways. It's pride when our first reaction to a situation that arises is to spring into action rather than to bring it before our Father in heaven. It's pride when we've got a big list of tasks that we need to do and we wake up in the morning and there's so much to do, as you just crack on and you get on with it and you get to the end of the day and you think, do you know what, I haven't even committed this to the Lord in prayer. Does that happen to you? It does to me. It's pride when we don't carve out time each day to humbly come before the throne of grace and ask for help. That's not actually primarily laziness. That's not primarily busyness. At the root of the problem, that's pride, because we think we can do it without. See, you might think, okay, the school of asking, that's easy. We know how to do this. But if it was so easy, then why do we fail to do it so often? If it was easy, then we wouldn't need to learn it. But praise God that he gives us this, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus teaches us this prayer, which is designed to shape the way that we ask and to remind us that we need to. It's a basic life skill. It isn't just for super Christians. This isn't the Lord's Prayer, learning how to ask. Okay, this is something simple. It's not for those who want to get an academic qualification as a Christian. You know, I want to be a Christian and then have some letters after my name as well. Maybe BPR. A Bachelor of Praying. That's what I want to be. I want to be someone who's really qualified as a Christian. That's not what it's about at all. It's for children, baby Christians, who need to learn, like Zach, how to ask. This is the air we breathe. Crucial for every learner from Jesus. We need to remember that we need to ask. But even as we ask, we still need to learn how to ask. Because even as we ask, it's easy to ask in the wrong way. So Zach, when he points and he goes, that's not the right way to ask for something. When Zach just screams or cries, that's not the right way to ask about something. So even as we ask, we need to learn how to ask. We need to be shaped by what Jesus tells us in this parable. Later on in Luke's gospel, Jesus makes it very clear that it's possible to pray in the wrong way. So he tells a parable about a Pharisee, and this Pharisee was great at praying, except all of his prayers were about himself and about his own goodness before God. That's not asking. That's not the right way to pray. And then later on, Jesus warns of the teachers of the law. These teachers of the law would pray loud and proud and long, and they do it all for a big show. But that's not asking. That's not the right way to pray. So even as we pray, there's this danger that we can easily go wrong. And so as we enter in the school of asking, as we spend our first day with our oversized jackets and, you know, the new pencil case with the lovely smell, as we do that, I want us to encourage us to have the humility to go back to school. Maybe some of us feel, look, school's in the past, I've learnt what I need to know, I've got this far in life without. And it actually takes real humility to say, I need to learn something new. I'm going to be a mature student and go back to school. Let's put our pride to one side and say, this is something I need to learn from you, Jesus. Teach me how to pray. It takes humility to be an asker. But actually, if you think about it, asking is crucial to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So think about how you come to faith in the Lord Jesus for the first time. Maybe some of you aren't yet following the Lord Jesus. How is it that you come to know the forgiveness of your sins? It's asking, isn't it? As you come to realize that our rebellion against God is horrid and hateful in his sight because it's so offensive to him, and yet he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to be the sacrifice for our sins so that we could be forgiven as he died on the cross. When we come to the realization that that's who we are and that's who he is, what do? We ask for forgiveness. We say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Please would you forgive my sin? Give me the gift of forgiveness, the gift of the Holy Spirit living within me. That's how you become a follower of Jesus. That's how you become one of the learners in his school. And it's also how we carry on as learners, continuing to ask, humble dependence on him. So, let me encourage you to learn how to ask as we come to the Lord's Prayer. But the great thing is, as we come to this school, as we enter into these gates and see the teachers who are lined up, it's a good thing because we learn from the best. And that's the second thing. At the school of asking, we learn from the best. Look down at verse 1. Here's the question. Why did the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? Why did they ask Jesus? Verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus was praying. The disciples saw it. And there was something in the way that Jesus prayed that made the disciples think, I need to do how do you do that? Wow, that's amazing. Teach me how to do what you just did. The disciples actually would have known how to pray. They were Jews, most of them. They knew that God was the God of the Old Testament. That they knew him. They knew that part of what it meant to be a follower of God as a Jew was to pray. And so they would be familiar with that. They'd be familiar with the prayers that happen in the synagogues. But when they see Jesus praying in the light of the cross, they realize this is something different. This is something I need to learn. And this actually wasn't a one-off. As you read through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus is a man of prayer. You could call him the master asker. And that really helps for us. As we learn in this school, we're not learning from someone who doesn't really know what he's talking about. Actually, we learn from the best, the expert. I remember when I was training for physiotherapy, we had various lecturers, and the lecturers also taught us the practical stuff as well, which was great. And there was a variety of them. Most of them were quite experienced. There was this one guy who was a lot younger. And this younger guy, I think his name was John. I'm not sure, but that's irrelevant to the story, so it's okay, I'll carry on. Anyway, this younger lecturer, he was there and he would teach us, and you might be tempted to think he didn't really have as much experience as the other guys. But then one time he just dropped into conversation how he'd helped to cure a recurrent injury problem for an England footballer. And we suddenly sat up and we started to think, okay, this guy knows what he's on about. And he ended up actually being one of my favourite lecturer. I would listen carefully to what he had to say because it was clear he knew what he was talking about. And it's the same here with Jesus. If we're going to be taught, it's good to learn from the best. And if Ofsted came to the School of Erskine and did an inspection, then they'd have to conclude that the teaching is outstanding. Jesus is the master asker. That's even how the disciples address him. What do they say? They say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord means master. Master, teach us to pray. We're the learners. You're the master. And so if you'll come with me, and I hope you will, then we're going to take a light jog through the book of Luke. And we're going to build up this picture of Jesus as the master asker. But as we do, there's something we need to bear in mind. What we need to remember is that Jesus is fully God and he's also fully man. And so we must not think that prayer was something easy for Jesus. You might think, well, okay, obviously Jesus is going to be good at praying. He's God. You know, that's easy for him. But it wasn't. It took effort. In his humanity, Jesus faced the same temptations, the same weaknesses that we do. It took Jesus blood, sweat and tears, literally, to pray. And as Jesus prayed, he wasn't just doing it for show. He wasn't just trying to either show us up or give us, you know, a model for praying. Not just that. Actually, prayer was vital for the Lord Jesus. It was necessary for him to be able to fulfill the plan of salvation. And in his humanity, Jesus models to us what it looks like to perfectly depend on the Father in prayer. As our master, he's also our model. So as we go through this little run through the book of Luke, I'm sure we'll see things that can teach us a lot about the way that we should pray as we look at how Jesus prayed. So come with me back to chapter 3 and verse 21. We're going to flick through Luke. It'll keep your fingers warm, so that's good. Chapter 3, verse 21. That's where we're starting. This is Jesus. He's right at the beginning of his ministry on earth. He's about to be baptized, or he is being baptized. And by his baptism, he is identifying with sinners. He is standing in their shoes. He's putting himself on a path that will lead to the cross. And as Jesus prays, things happen. So verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What was Jesus praying for? We're not expressly told, but I think there's a link between verse 21 and verse 22. Surely Jesus was asking for the Father to send the Holy Spirit, who would empower and enable him for everything that he was about to face, as he lived a perfect life, as he resisted the temptation of the devil in the next bit, as he preached the good news, as he performed signs and miracles to prove his identity and show how important his message was, and eventually, as he went to Jerusalem, target locked onto the cross, where he would die in the place of sinners. Jesus prayed and things happened. We're building up this picture of Jesus, the one who knows what he's talking about, the master asker. So flick forward to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 15. Jesus has just healed a leper. And actually the way that he did it was really amazing, because what he did was he reached out his hand and he touched the unclean leper. And that was an amazing thing to do. He was showing what he was about to do at the cross. He was showing that on the cross he would become unclean so that people like us could be made clean. And unsurprisingly, these kind of miracles, these kind of teachings, they drew a crowd. So verse 15, the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. This was a busy time in Jesus' life. A time of great opportunity. People in great need. He could do some great things for them. This was a time when ministry was full on. When life was busy. And when lots of people wanted his attention. So what does he do? He cracks on with it. He just keeps going. He pulls an all-nighter and just heals loads of people. Verse 16. He doesn't do any of that. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Isn't that amazing? If you're anything like me, when life gets busy, prayer is one of the first things to go out the window. especially when life is full of good things and ministry opportunities and people that need our attention. But Jesus knew that prayer was the air that he breathed. He needed to call on his Father for the strength to keep going. He needed to ask his Father for help for the people who he was in contact with. And I'm sure there was plenty of other things he prayed about too. Prayer was Jesus' priority, even in the middle of a busy life. And then check out his commitment in chapter 6, verse 12. This is a significant moment. Jesus is about to call his inner circle of disciples, the 12 who would learn from him most closely. And so it's an important life event. What does he do? Verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When was the last time you or I spent a whole night praying to God? When I was in India, I had the privilege of spending some time with the church in India, just a couple of weeks. But while I was there, they had their monthly all-night prayer meeting. They do it every month. And there were loads of people there. There were kids there as well. And by all-night prayer meeting, it's not just a 12, it meant all night. And I don't know exactly how long I lasted, but I think it was still before midnight when I blamed jet lag. I played the jet lag card and went to bed. But actually, that was to my shame. And that's not what Jesus does. Jesus knows that prayer is more important than sleep. I think that's probably a lesson we all need to learn. Sure, if you're anything like me. Prayer is more important than sleep. This is my wrestle every single morning, just being honest here. My wrestle every single morning, almost without fail, when the alarm goes off, that's not my alarm. Who has an alarm like that? Does anyone have an alarm like that? Joe does. Okay, that's not my alarm. I can't remember what my alarm is. But anyway, when my alarm goes off, that was the weirdest thing I've ever done. It's on my phone. It's not even like a bringy thing. Anyway, when my alarm goes off, the wrestle that I have every morning is, what's more important to me? Do I spend a few more minutes in bed? Or do I spend a few of those extra minutes in prayer? Because that's always the thing that gets squished out. It's never my breakfast that gets squished out. It's always prayer. But Jesus is the master asker. So we're building up this picture as we go on a run. It's a bit hot for a run today, but we're going for a jog through the book of Luke, building up this picture of Jesus, the master asker. And the next three occasions, we'll rattle through them, but they all have something to do with one particular learner, the guy called Peter. They all have a connection with Peter. So look at verse 18. And you'll see this, it's not just Luke's gospel. Read through any gospel and you'll see Jesus praying, you know, all the time, through all the pages. So chapter 9, verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? And then look down to verse 20. What about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter, one of the learners, he answers, God's Messiah. This is a penny drop light bulb moment for Peter. He suddenly realizes that Jesus is the promised rescuer. Jesus prays, and Peter realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. At 9 verse 28, bottom of the page. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then look forward to 35, verse 35 over the page. A voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen, listen to him. So Jesus prays, and then something happens. Peter and the others who are with him, they see this overwhelming evidence that not only is Jesus the Messiah, the promised rescuer, but he's also the Son of God. He's divine. And then have a look at chapter 22 and verse 32 with me. Several pages forward. This is the third on the run of things to do with Peter. And the significance of that, by the way, is that I think Jesus is praying for disciples. He's praying for those who are learning from him, like Peter. And 22 verse 32, this is just before the cross. Peter is about to deny Jesus. That's what's about to happen. But Jesus prays for him. Verse 31, actually. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, whose other name was Peter, that your faith may not fail. and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prays, and Peter is preserved through his prayers. Jesus is the master asker. He prays for his disciples and things happen. And what a great model this is for us. How is it that people in our community will come to see Jesus as the Messiah? How is it that people in our community will come face to face with the risen Lord Jesus and see this is the Son of God, he is fully divine? How is it that disciples of Jesus are going to be protected from the attack of the devil as God works, as we pray? When we pray, things happen. Because when we pray, God is at work. And as Jesus, the master asker, faces the cross, what does he do? There's no points for that. He prays. Of course he does. Look down at verse 39 of chapter 22. I'm going to read these verses and just listen in to his humanity. Feel his pain in his heart and his body as he knows what's about to happen. He's about to drink the cup of God's wrath against sin. Verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. As he prays, stuff happens. An angel comes to strengthen him. You know, sometimes prayer is hard, isn't it? Prayer hurts. But for Jesus, the priority in prayer is clear. What does he say? "Father, your will be done, your name be honoured, not my will, but yours." And it's through the anguish of the cross that the Father's will was done. As Jesus suffered and died, that salvation plan was complete. My prideful attitude, the one that makes me think I'm the centre of the universe and I'm the one who should be prayed for, I should be the focus of my own prayers, that prideful attitude is forgiven as I trust in him because the price was paid. And so as I say, "Lord, I ask you, please forgive my sin," it's then and only then that I can know this privilege of prayer. Only then can I enroll in the school of asking. You know, if you're not yet trusting Jesus, then you actually can't come to the school of asking. You're here this morning, and that's great. But to really be in the school of asking where we learn from Jesus together, that comes as we ask him for the forgiveness of our sins, as we trust what he has done on the cross. It's for those who ask Jesus to forgive our rebellion and the hell that it deserves. And that's something you can do right now. Prayer is not, you know, just hands together and eyes closed. Prayer is not just for a certain building. You can do it at any time and in any way, asking Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. But if you are a disciple, if you are someone in the school who's learning, then can I tell you something really cool? What does the Bible say Jesus is doing right now? He's praying. Who is he praying for? He's praying for learners like us. He's praying for his disciples. The Bible says he ever lives to intercede for us. Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, and now he is at the right hand of the Father, praying for me and praying for you, if you're trusting him this morning. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. As we come to the school of asking, we learn from the best. He is the master asker and he's still doing it today. So welcome to the school of asking. As we spend time in the school over the next few weeks, I hope that we'll have the humility to learn, to go back to school and say, "Jesus, please teach us how to pray." Let's do that now, shall we? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we learn with the kids, we thank you that we can call you Father. And we praise you that next week we'll be able to dig into all of what that means. But we praise you today for the Lord Jesus, who is the master asker, the man who knew how to pray, the man who humbly depended on his Father in heaven, the man who went to the cross in the place of sinners so that we could be forgiven. And Lord, we want to humbly come before you now and say, Lord Jesus, please would you teach us how to pray. We confess that often we forget to ask. Often we think we know what we're doing. But we also confess that often we feel our weakness in prayer. And we thank you that you are a forgiving and a humble teacher. We praise you that as we learn from you, we know your forgiveness in all of our weaknesses and our failings. And so we pray that over the next few weeks and even today, you would be teaching us, Lord, how to pray. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. We're going to start.